fall, it will fall on Israel. Sorry, Elton. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his greatness, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 33 to 37. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him, them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Bert. It's great to be with you. If I haven't met you before, please come say hi after. My name's Reuben. I'm one of the pastors here. Let's pray one more time before we dig into God's word together. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you want to speak to us now. Please help us to listen, not just with our ears, but with our minds and with our hearts. Help us to offer up everything we have to you so that we would be changed by your word this morning and go out to live for you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder where you tend to go when you need advice. Maybe you've got a difficult problem or you've got a curly question. Who do you tend to turn to? It might be mum or dad. It might be one of your grandparents. Maybe a wise friend. Maybe a mature believer here at church. Someone you look up to. Or maybe you would go to a psychologist, perhaps to a counselor. Maybe you just prefer to ask Google. Maybe you don't really have anyone that you seek wisdom from. You just kind of figure it out for yourself as you go along. Our world is just full of information and opinions nowadays, isn't it? More than ever before. And everywhere you turn, it seems, more advice is being offered. Which sometimes, to be honest, I find quite overwhelming. Sometimes I wish I could just sit down with someone who knows absolutely everything. Someone ridiculously wise. Someone who knows the future, someone who knows me and cares about me and can guide me forward. How good would that be? If you like the sound of that, then you're going to want to see what our Bible passage today says about Jesus. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus is given the title of Wonderful Counselor. Okay, so we're in the middle of our Christmas series here at Riverbank. There are four presents under the Riverbank Christmas tree this year. And these four presents are four different names, different titles that are given to Jesus. And each one of those is something precious that we need. Last week, Jack helped us unwrap the first present. Jesus is called Everlasting Father. This means that Jesus is like a perfect father to us, full of protection and love and care. Now today we want to think about what it means for Jesus to be our wonderful counselor. That's our focus today. We've got two main points, and they're pretty complicated, so listen up. Point one is what, and point two is so what. Okay? So first of all, what? What does it mean for Jesus to be wonderful counselor? And then second, so what? So what does this mean for us? How should we respond? I hope that's not too complex. Let's get into it. We're first going to look at what does it mean for Jesus to be our wonderful counselor? Perhaps that word counselor makes you think of a guidance counselor at school, or maybe a marriage counselor, or a mental health counselor. Often in the Bible, the word counselor was used to describe an advisor to the king. This was the guy who would advise the king on how to lead the people, how to defeat the enemies. And often the Bible emphasizes how important it is to listen to counsel. Now, for example, Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Sometimes, though, the kings in the Bible got led astray by bad counselors who gave bad advice. And maybe you've even experienced this in your own life. Good advice can be really helpful, but bad advice can be really unhelpful. So then what kind of counselor is Jesus? Well, he's called the wonderful counselor. Usually in the Bible, this word wonderful refers to God's mighty acts and his miracles. For example, Psalm 86 says, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." So when Jesus is called the wonderful counselor, it's saying Jesus is the miraculous counselor, the supernatural counselor. It's saying he is the God who knows everything. I was reading a space book with my son the other night, and my head began to spin with all these different facts about outer space. All these different planets, and they're each hurtling through the blackness of space with their own orbits, their own speeds, with different moons, with different atmospheric gases. My head was spinning, but Jesus knows every single detail about every planet and every star and every galaxy in space. Jesus knows it all. And then we opened a book about bugs. And again, my head began to hurt. This time, not because of the enormity of the universe, but because of the minuscule details of a fly's eye. Each eye on a fly consists of more than 1,000 lenses. That means that a fly can see color spectrums that the human eye can't. But Jesus knows about every lens on every eye on every fly. And he knows about how many atoms there are in our universe. Do you know how small an atom is? The average strand of human hair is about 1 million atoms wide. But Jesus knows the exact position of every single atom in our universe. How does he know that? Because all things were created through him and for him. You see, here's where it gets crazy. You and I, we know things by learning them, right? Kids, isn't that what school's all about? We read. We study, we experiment. That's how we learn. That's how we know about planetary orbits and atomic molecules and fly's eyes. But God's knowledge is totally different to ours because God has never learned anything. Ever. God has never learned even one new fact. He has never said, interesting, I've never thought about that before. A little later in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, it says this, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Do you see how God's knowledge is different to ours? Our knowledge comes from learning about things that have already been created. Whereas God's knowledge is the knowledge of the inventor who pre-planned every detail of everything and then went on to make it. Now, I know all of that seems kind of huge and mind-boggling, but we also need to remember that the knowledge of God is also deeply personal. Because it means God knows everything about me and you. In Psalm 139, David says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." So what does it mean for Jesus to be our wonderful counselor? Well, we've seen that it means he has all of God's divine wisdom and knowledge. He knows every detail of the universe, from the largest galaxy to the smallest atom. He knows the future. He knows about all the alternate futures that could have been but won't be because he decided they won't be. And he knows you and me completely. Every secret. Every sin. Every sadness, every struggle, every longing, every sigh. But now at this point, you might be excused for thinking that this incredibly knowledgeable person is some kind of eccentric academic. You know, he's sitting there in his library full of books. He's got that tweed coat on with the elbow patches, puffing on his pipe, making sort of mysterious diagrams and scratches in his notebook. But that's not Jesus. He is literally the biggest know-it-all to ever live, but he's certainly not a stuffy armchair academic. He is a man of action. In the Bible, the word counselor is all about making plans and getting things done. To call Jesus our wonderful counselor is to say Jesus is the man with the plan. Have a look again at what's happening there in Isaiah 9. You've got your Bible open there. Remember back in verse 2 we saw last week, God's people are living in this time of darkness. The nation of Assyria are threatening to attack them. And so God's people are fearful about the future, and they're wondering what's going to happen. Things are not going well. And it's into that darkness that we're told in verse 6, Jesus is the wonderful counselor who's planning to create a wonderful kingdom. Let's read verses 6 and 7 again. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So Jesus is not a professor in a library. He's not just another politician with another half-baked plan that won't solve most of our biggest problems. No, Jesus is nothing less than God himself. He's the majestic creator of the universe. He's the Lord of all. And he's building a kingdom that's going to last forever, and it's going to be full of justice and beautiful righteousness. So are you fed up with the state of the world right now? Are you discouraged by the horrors that flood your newsfeed every day? Are you looking for hope? looking for change. Well, then let me introduce you to the wonderful counselor. He is all-knowing, all-wise, all over it. But you might be a little bit surprised to find out exactly how the wonderful counselor plans to fix our world. His plan for how to save our world is very unexpected and peculiar. It's hinted at there in Isaiah 9, verse 6. This great king, the Son of God, full of wisdom and knowledge, how exactly will he fix all things? Verse 6 says to us, "To us a child is born." A child, a baby, born in Bethlehem, lying in a manger, fully human, but also fully God. And then one day the wonderful counselor grew up and sat down and started teaching. And he began to draw enormous crowds. And as they sat there all day, forgetting about food and everything else, as they listened, they were gripped and they were cut to the heart. In Matthew 7, we're told that the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Another time in Matthew 13, we read this. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Isn't that a good question? How can this guy from the dumpy town of Nazareth, which isn't even big enough to have its own high school, have this much wisdom and power? They were wrestling with the mystery that Paul talks about in Colossians 2. Paul says the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus, the Word of God, the wisdom of God walking among us. How amazing to hear Jesus preach. How awesome to have him come and teach us how to live God's way. But you know, Jesus didn't just come to teach. He didn't come to stand far off and call out advice, give us instructions. No, he came to give us himself. The greatest display of his wisdom is not what he said, but what he did. Most people think that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was nothing but folly and failure. But this morning, I hope we'll see that his dying on the cross was actually the wisest, cleverest, most wonderful thing that our wonderful counselor ever did. Paul cries out in 1 Corinthians 1, "We preach Christ crucified." A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Our world is bursting with advice, isn't it? And sometimes it's more confusing and overwhelming than it is helpful. Isn't it good to know that Jesus isn't just one more person telling you what to do? He's the friend who did for you what you can't do. The only perfect person to ever live, and he gave himself up on the cross in our place. He died for all our foolish, sinful choices. All the times we decided to follow our own way instead of go God's way. Now, the arrogant, The self-sufficient person looks at Jesus on the cross and laughs. Yeah, what a genius, they say. Getting himself killed like that. That is not my style. I prefer strength and success and popularity. But the humble person who realizes they're not really wise and they don't really have it all together, they look at Jesus on the cross and they see freedom. They see the way, the truth, the life. They see that true victory comes through surrender. That true life comes through death. And that's brought us to our second final point. We started by asking, what? What does it mean for Jesus to be our wonderful counselor? We've seen that he possesses all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge, and he's got a genius master plan for how to save the world. By rescuing those who humbly admit they need his guidance, but destroying those who arrogantly reject his wisdom and prefer to go their own way. That leads us to ask, so what? So what does this mean for us? How should we respond? Let me briefly suggest three things as we wrap up. First, we should tremble. Tremble before the wonderful counselor. We should stand in awe of God's wisdom embodied in Jesus and written in the pages of our Bibles. Sometimes we trifle with God's word, don't we? Sometimes we just pay very little attention to it. Sometimes we treat it like a textbook for intellectual study, but not as the word of the Almighty God intended to expose our sin and feed us on grace. And sometimes we even dare to critique God's decisions as if we know a better way of doing things. What arrogance. It's not just folly, it's treason. It really is amazing that the wonderful counselor let himself be killed by stuck-up know-it-alls like you and me, isn't it? We deserve the death sentence for our defiant rejection of God's wisdom. But we don't get what we deserve. Jesus gets what we deserve, and we get forgiveness. Won't you tremble at God's supreme wisdom? Won't you listen to the one who laid the earth's foundations? Don't try to go up against God. Don't try to outsmart him. That would be like me going up against a chess master. I'm very mediocre at chess. I've never studied any of the moves. I just know that the knight is allowed to move there and the rook's allowed to move there. I called it a castle for most of my life. And then I just start hopping around the board, naively hoping that things are going to work out pretty well. Which is a lot like how many of us live our lives, isn't it? And meanwhile, the chess master who's sitting opposite me, he's already planned 12 moves ahead in his mind, and every move I make, I'm just playing straight into his hands without even knowing it. Friends, you don't want to take on Jesus at the game of life. The Bible tells us that our world will end in the same way that a game of chess ends, with checkmate. Outwitted and outsmarted and forced to bow down before the wonderful counselor and admit you've been a fool. If we want to be truly wise, we will admit how flawed and limited our wisdom is, and we will humbly worship and adore God. This is what Paul does in Romans 11 when he cries out with passion, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So we should tremble before the wonderful counselor. But we should also trust. We should trust in the wonderful counselor. Because you know, there's actually no better feeling than surrendering to Jesus. What does it feel like to have Jesus as your counselor? It feels safe. Safe like a little kid in the hiking pack on their dad's shoulders. Our legs aren't strong enough to walk through life alone. We don't even know the way. And yet we feel safe, and we are safe because we're riding high on dad's shoulders. Don't you want Jesus to be your counselor? To guide you through life, to show you the way, to warn you of traps? You can trust him. And then as you tremble before the wonderful counselor and you trust in the wonderful counselor, finally, your life will also be transformed by the wonderful counselor. Transformed. Have you ever seen what happens when someone decides to follow Jesus? When they start to wake up to the fact that the wisdom of the world is actually folly and tune in to God's way of thinking and living? I've witnessed this before. It's incredible. I've heard the young man who says, I've decided to play less video games and spend less time on social media. Because I've realized that my time isn't just for me. It's been given by God so I can serve others. That's my goal now. I've heard the parents who say, to be honest, I used to see my kids as a bit of a nuisance. And I was just trying to spend the bare minimum amount of time with them that I could. But now I'm realizing that my kids are a gift from God, and it's such a privilege to get to teach them about Jesus. I've heard the employee who says, I realized I was just doing my job to try and keep getting ahead. But now when I go to work, I'm thinking about how I can actually bless the people around me. And my workmates have already noticed the difference and they've asked me what's changed. I've heard the humble believer who says, my friends don't understand why I'm happy to drive an old car and get my clothes from the op shop. But they don't understand that I'm storing up treasures in heaven. Friends, the world may think you are a fool, but be assured there is nothing wiser than to follow the way of the wonderful counselor. Maybe there's something in your life right now the Holy Spirit is prompting you to change, to act on, something you need to do to follow in the way of Jesus. If so, I wonder what steps you could take this week. And if you're facing a decision in your life at the moment and you're not sure what to do, and actually you can't find any specific instruction or answer in the Bible, don't worry. Just pray. Get some wise Christian counsel. And then do the next thing that you think will glorify God. Well, there we go. We have unwrapped the second present sitting under the riverbank Christmas tree. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. This Christmas, let's tremble at his greatness, trust in his goodness, and let his word transform our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we gaze at you lying in a manger, wearing a nappy, crying for your mother's milk, we could so easily misunderstand that you are the eternal Son of God, through whom and for whom all things were made. We marvel at you, Lord Jesus. We tremble at the depth of your wisdom and knowledge. And we are amazed at your grace and kindness that you would die for stuck-up fools like us. Thank you. Help us to follow you.